Welcome to the Rage Podcast. We hope that you find this week's message encouraging. Father, we thank you for just this amazing group of young people. God, I thank you that there are a bunch of them that you have called. You have called to go to El Salvador. Lord, I know you want all of them. It is your desire for all of them to go to winter camp so they can experience you at so much of a deeper level. Father, I pray that you will make a way. Give them creative ways to raise the funds for that. And Lord, we know in your kingdom, all things are possible. Father, I thank you that you've proven this to Mandy and I time and time again, that we don't have the extra money for things, but we always give to you our tithe. We always give in addition to that offerings. And it doesn't make sense, but you've always provided. And Lord, I know you will do the same with these young people because you are a God who never changes and you're a God who never fails. Bless them, Lord. Help them raise the funds that they need and encourage them. And Lord, we ask that you'll be with us tonight as we move into a time of teaching in your presence. Teach us, Lord, what it is you want. Holy Spirit, move within our hearts. It's in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
I think we all need a pep talk. The world needs you to stop being boring. Yeah, you. Boring is easy. Everybody can be boring, but you're gooder than that. Life is not a game, people. Life isn't a cereal either. Well, it is a cereal. And if life is a game, aren't we on the same team? I mean, really, right? I'm on your team. You're my team. This is life, people. You got air coming through your nose. You got heartbeat. That means it's time to do something. A poem. Two roads diverged in the woods, and I took the road less traveled.
It hurt, man!
Really bad.
Rocks, thorns, and glass?
My pants broke.
Wah!
Not cool, Robert Frost. But roads that really were two paths. I won't be in the one that leads to awesome. It's like that dude Journey said, don't stop believing unless you dream stupid. Then you should get a better dream. I think that's how it goes. Get a better dream and keep going. Keep going, keep going, and keep going. Will Michael Jordan have quit? Well, he did quit. No, he retired. Yeah, that's right. He retired. But before that, in high school, what if he quit when he didn't make the team? He would have never made Space Jam. And I love Space Jam. What will be your Space Jam? What will you create will make the world awesome? Nothing if you keep sitting there. That's why I'm talking to you today. This is your time. This is my time. It's our time. We can make every day better for each other. If we're all on the same team, let's start acting like it. We got work to do. We can cry about it, or we can dance about it. We were made to be awesome. Let's get out there. I don't know everything. I'm just a kid. But I do know this. It's everybody's duty to give the world a reason to dance. Get to it. You've just been pep talked. Create something that will make the world awesome. Play ball.
That kid is awesome. I'm just saying. He is, man. I've been waiting for years to show that video. Tonight is the night. It's like, yes, it's hilarious, but there's also something like really moving about it. You feel like the encouragement coming out of this kid. Now, in my opinion, this may be, and it's arguable, it may be one of the most influential videos of the decade. It may be. Reason being is it was everywhere on social media when it came out. Why is that? Because it's encouraging. Because it's inspiring. Even in the video description, it said this. We all need a little encouragement every now and then. Kid President, knowing this, has put together a video that you can play each morning as you wake up to share with your friend who needs a kick in the right direction. Take a moment and spread some encouragement. And remember, it's everybody's duty to give the world a reason to dance. So their goal is just to inspire people, to just try to put a smile on some people's faces and just motivate them a little bit. So tonight, we're going into a new series. I'll explain what that is in a minute. But I just want you to play this question in your mind for a second. What is inspiration? You know, the video is inspiring, but what is inspiration? Inspiration is the act or the power of moving someone to action. It's that kick in the pants. It's like, whoo, I'm going to do something. That's right. Encouragement and motivation help you move forward into action. It's that friend that encourages you to keep going when you feel like you can't. It's that teacher who, when you feel like you're not getting it, says, let's do it again. You've got this. It's that motivation to keep pressing forward, even when you feel frustrated. It's that leader that encourages you in your pursuit of Jesus. You say, you can get over this. You can get through this. It's going to be all right. God has control. It motivates you. Now, I've been inspired by a lot of things in my life, but one of them, when I was writing this message, I'm like, man, what things in my life would illustrate kind of where I'm heading? And I used to love motocross. I had a dirt bike, used to race. It was so much fun. And just like anybody in sports who wants to get better, you study people who are at the top. They're professionals. You want to get better at football, you watch pros. You want to get better at basketball, you watch the pros. And you study them and you learn what you can do. So I was learning that right in the beginning was the most critical time of the race. What are they doing different? What are they doing to get ahead? And I noticed all of them lean over the handlebars. I'm like, I can do that. And then all of them are like, boom, and off like a rocket. And I'm like, oh, I want to do that. So I began to do some more research, and I discovered on dirt bike, you have a clutch. And you start off in first gear, and you give it some gas, and you let the clutch out, and you shift to second, and third, and fourth, and fifth. And it's just like a car. What professionals do is they don't use the clutch when they start. They rev the bike as high as they can, and as they lift their foot up, because the shifter is down low, the back of the knob shifter, instead of using the front of their toe, they whack it with their heel and bring it around and then grab third gear right away. They just totally skip first. And I'm like, oh, I can do this. So I go out on the track, at a track at our house. It's benefits of living on 200 acres and your dad being a farmer. You know, you just build tracks. It's cool. So I'm leaning over. I'm like, wah, nah, 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 like on the rev. And we're like, here we go. Shwam. And the bike went straight upside down, landed on me, and broke my foot. 23 places. I'm like, woo! Straight to the ER, jacked up, couldn't ride for like 6 to 8 weeks, and had a little bit of recovery time, and totally scared to ever try that again. My inspiration went straight to fear, and I'm like, what in the world? I just felt so discouraged by the same thing that inspired me so much. And eventually, I learned how to get it. I learned how to do it. The problem was I just gave it way too much gas. Bouncing off the rev limiter was a bad idea. But often in life, this happens to us. We feel inspired. We feel motivated. We're going to go get them. We're going to flip this world upside down. And then eventually, it just becomes average. It just becomes mundane. It becomes routine. It feels like a burden. It doesn't have that same poof to it that it initially did. That thing in your life went from a blessing to a burden. From a blessing to a burden. Now, what is a burden? A burden is something frustrating. It's something difficult to bear. It's a weight. It's being overloaded. It's being overloaded. Mandy, I'm going to borrow you for a second. Come illustrate something. So when you describe this as a weight, give it up for Mandy. Now, Mandy is really strong, and she's going to prove this. I'm 6'2", 170 pounds of straight muscle. And Mandy is 5'4", and I'm not going to say her weight, because I love my wife very much, and she's amazing. But Mandy is going to pick me up and carry me over to just that corner of that stage. I just want you to pick me up. You can do this. Just try. You don't have to carry me like a baby. Just pick me up. Okay, so here we go. So this right here for Mandy is the definition. We're right here. That right there is the definition of a burden. You can do it, but it is hard. It is laborsome. It is intensive. Give it up for Mandy. So a burden is carrying a weight. It doesn't mean you have to carry your fatty youth pastor. It just means it's something that's hard to deal with. It's a struggle. It's like all you have. You're like, ah! But in carrying that burden, you become a little bit stronger. Eventually, it gets easier. More on that later. A blessing is the opposite. Remember Jesus said, you know, take on my yoke for it's easy, my burden is light. It's the opposite. It's actually a bestowal of God's favor. It's God providing you with something. It's the complete opposite of a burden. It's taking that pressure off. So a few examples of blessings to burdens. You get a new puppy. You're like, I love puppies. Puppies are cute. They're great. And then you realize really quickly that awesome new puppy dog just pooped all over your room and chewed up all your stuff. That very fast goes from a blessing to a burden. The puppy didn't change as a blessing. What changed is you forgot to let him out of your room when you went to school. You just forgot to take care of him. It's still a blessing, but your perception's changed. What about school? Last year, maybe you had a great year. You had awesome teachers. This year, it's harder for you. You're a great hire, hopefully, and you're like moving forward in your educational process, and you are like, I am just really struggling with this. Your perception, school is still a blessing because you're getting a quality education. It's changing some of that thinking. Maybe you gave your life to Jesus, but all of a sudden it's hard to be around your old friends. You feel discouraged. You're struggling. I want you to remember the miracle that happened when you gave your life to Jesus. And I use the word miracle because when one person comes into the kingdom, when one person gives their life to Jesus, all of heaven rejoices. So when it talks to the heavenly host, 10,000 times 10,000, you could fill the big house in U of M up a couple million times with angels, all rejoicing because one person gave their life to Jesus. Remember that. Your eternity has been changed. And it's not easy serving Jesus over yourself. Be encouraged. Maybe it's rage. Maybe you loved coming and you still do, but you just feel so overloaded. You feel so burdened. You feel tired. You've got all this schoolwork to do. And you're like, man, is it youth or is it homework? And unfortunately, the ones that probably really need to hear this message aren't here. So tell everybody to listen on podcast. You on podcast, turn it up. You know, it's a blessing to have a youth group because it's something Mandy and I didn't have. We could have been so much farther in life if we would have had a group of young believers encouraging us forward. And it feels like a burden because you loaded yourself up and you've let God become your second love. You've put him on the back burner and you've put education in the front. Allow Jesus to come back to the forefront again. Maybe it's your Bible time. It used to energize. It used to fire you up. But now it just feels kind of routine. And that's not God's fault. It means you need to shake things up a little bit. Because he's not a boring God. It just means he wants more of you. He wants your attention. Maybe it's those Christian friends that used to encourage you. And now you're like, why are you always calling out all the bad stuff I do? They do it because they love you. They are a blessing to have somebody in your life that will care for you and be honest. Because you are responsible for your actions. And they love you enough to tell you that you are. Maybe it's mission trips or winter camp. You used to just get so excited about them. They used to challenge you to live for Jesus. But now you're going, I'm not sure if I'm going to go this year. I'm not positive. I want to. The trips haven't changed. The heart of winter camp hasn't changed because we serve an unchanging God. Your perception of them has because we easily forget as humans what it was like. That's why we show the videos from last year, because it takes you back. That's what God did in my life. From blessings to burdens. So we're starting this new series tonight. Graphics coming up. It is called Re. And you're like, okay. The whole idea with Re is to reevaluate some things in your life. And the goal is to let God challenge us to a point of conviction and change. Because we want to be more like him. We want to be made more in his image. Each week there's going to be an area that you can reevaluate. We're going to cover a few topics. Tonight, I want to speak to you under the title of Rethink. I want you to rethink some things. So we're going to tackle that in just a moment. Let's just go before the Lord. Father, I thank you for this group of young people who is just willing to learn from you. And God, I pray that through this message series, through this message tonight, that you'll help us to rethink some things in our minds. Help us to change some of our perceptions. Help us to have a better understanding of what it is you want to do through us and in us. That's in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you have your Bibles, which all of you should, open up to Luke chapter 23. Luke 23, as you're turning there, I just want to give you some background on this. Now, I'm sure a bunch of you know this. Some of you may not, and that's fine, because the whole point of messages are so we can learn more about Jesus. And for us who are followers of him. We say that we're Christians. This is how we learn to live a more authentic life. And if you aren't saved, if you haven't given your life to Jesus, just follow along. You're going to learn some awesome stuff. And if you ever decide to become a Christian, you know what to do. And you won't regret it. Promise. So, Luke 23, we see that Jesus has been sentenced to death via crucifixion, even though he was innocent, because he was perfect and spotless. It was actually due to our sinfulness that he was there. He took on our sin. He took on all of our wrongdoings, and he chose to lay down his very life for us. And at this point of Scripture where we pick it up, he would have been beaten so severely, he would no longer would have been recognizable. He would have been in such excruciating pain. He would have been in physical shock. He would have been bleeding out from the wounds and the whippings and the beatings that he received and continued to receive. And as all this is going on, it spills out into the streets. And Jesus is carrying his cross, the very cross that will bring death, but will also bring us our freedom. And the Romans, the ones who are performing the execution, spot a man in the crowd, and they take him and they force him to carry Jesus' cross. Luke 23, verses 26 and 27. It says, as the soldiers led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. A few quick notes on this that I want you to understand about the cross. The first thing is that the cross is heavy. It was heavy. This thing weighed between 100 and 140 pounds. It's not a light thing. It's a burden to be carrying it. And they carried it a very, very long ways. The second thing I want you to get is the cross was embarrassing. People seeing Simon carry it had to have questioned, is he the one that's guilty? What did he do to deserve the punishment of being associated with whatever that guy did? It was embarrassing. And it wasn't anything that he had done in the first place for that. And you see in verse 27, it says a large number of people were there. It wasn't just a few people. Mass amounts of people seeing this happen. Number three, I want you to get the cross wasn't comforting. It's comforting now that we know that Jesus laid his life on it. He took a symbol of death and turned it into a symbol of hope. The cross most likely was previously used, which means it would have been soaked in blood. It smelled really bad. It would have had chunks of flesh rotting on it from the previous people who had been executed. And so you have the stigma and the smell coming all around it while you've got this entire crowd, some mourning, some yelling, some excited about what's going on, some just in despair, screaming, and you're trying to drag this heavy thing down the street, and it's not your burden to carry. See, the cross was a burden that Simon had to bear for a moment, but it was ours to bear for an eternity. But Jesus stepped in, and he bore it for us in our place so we could have the light burden for all eternity, so we could have that freedom you experienced here tonight in worship, so we could have relationship with the Most High God. And sometimes I'm sure we feel like Simon, we fail to see the blessing and the burden. He's probably going, what is this? We're so focused on the nasty of the situation, the smell of the discouragement, and we hear the crowd all around it bringing down things on us. And we just feel like it's too much for us to carry. Too much for us to carry. So the question is, how do we turn a burden into a blessing? How do you change a burden into a blessing? How do you rethink this? How do you rethink the burden? And I want to approach this from two sides. I'm going to approach it from two sides. The first side is looking at a burden that used to be a blessing. So from blessing to burden, back to blessing. You guys following? All right. First thing you need to do is rethink your thinking. Rethink your thinking. There's an amazing book out called The 4-8 Principle that talks about the joy of living in Jesus. And it's based out of Philippians 4:8, which says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. We're like, well, that sounds great, but I don't think it really works. I'm telling you it does, because when you give attention in your head, whatever has that focus up here will turn into your actions. What you give attention to in your head will turn into your actions. It's not a matter of if. It's not a matter of maybe. It will. Pastor Stephen Furtick out of Elevation Church was quoted as saying this. He said, "The same imagination that creates joyful anticipation in our minds can fuel paralyzing anxieties and fears. The struggle for our imagination is critical. The thoughts that we water in our mind will grow. Joy, gratitude, and faith, or fear, anxiety, and negativity." It works both ways. What you give focus to on the negative will grow and will fuel. But what you focus on in the positive will grow and it will fuel and it will get bigger. Think of it like this. That thing in your life that was a blessing still is. But what's changed is how you think of it, how you perceive it. And that is a choice. You can choose to change that. You have to rethink your thinking. Try changing it back to a blessing by changing your words when you're like, "Man, I'm too tired." Be like, "Man, I'm pumped for this. I'm excited for this." And you're like, "Oh, I'm bored. Man, I used to love this. I'm excited to burn with passion for this again. I'm excited. Lord, help me be excited. God, this is going to be a great night. This is going to be a great year. This is going to be a great whatever burden you are facing." Rethink your thinking. Number two, you need to rethink your memory. Rethink your memory. This is going back to the basics. This is going back to the root of why you liked it in the first place. Why was it a blessing in the first place? Think of it like this. The easiest way to do this is to create a memorial. And a memorial is something that you create to remember something. Now, Joshua, in the book of Joshua, when the Israelites crossed into the promised land, God performed a physical, amazing miracle. And he, while the river that they were crossing through was in flood stages, its highest peak, impassable, God held the waters back and they walked across on dry land. And halfway across, Joshua had them pick up 12 stones, symbolizing each tribe of Israel. And when they got to the other side, he said to build a monument right here. And the question was, why? And it says, because when your sons and your grandsons and their children come past and say, "What happened here?" you can remember what God has done for you. It was building a monument there, a memorial to say, this is where that miracle happened. And some of you, this is amazing, some of you do this with tokens that you get here, and you're like, "What's a token?" Those are those free things that we give you on nights when we really want you to get something. So like winter camp, one year you guys got a candle, right? You guys remember this? There's other tokens that we give you guys, things here to try to spark a memory in your mind to remember what's going on. We did this with the last missions trip. If you guys don't know what it was because you didn't go, just go on one this year and it'll totally make sense. What's powerful about these is to build a memorial. It's a powerful way to physically be reminded of what God did. And now I have, some of you have seen it. It's in my office. It's this little beat up can and it says, "Earn it." I'm not going to tell you what it symbolizes, but for me, I was at a retreat and I had somebody invest so heavily into my life that it just changed so much of my thinking. I came back with a renewed passion and a fire. And that can, for me in that moment, was a token to remember what God did in my life. When I'm having a hard week, sometimes you'll see it sit on my podium up here, but it sits on my desk in my office every day to remind me of that moment. And some of you do this. Mandy and I know this because some of you are awesome and want to hang out with us outside of here. You've showed us, "Man, look what I have here. This is my memorial," and it's filled with tokens from things that you've had. If you don't have those things, that's okay. You don't have to have a physical thing. You can build a memorial in your heart. What that looks like is writing out all the good things that God did in your life and placing it in your Bible. So every day when you open it, because all of you should be in the Word every day, you remember the good things that God did. Some people, you just eat a lot, put it on your fridge. So every time you open your fridge, you remember the good things that God did. Whichever one you open more, your Bible or your fridge, put it there. The key really is to root it in your heart. And this simply comes back to remembering how it was, not how you perceive it now. What's the truth in this situation? Because we forget easy as people. You think of people who like to fish. You know, that 12-inch fish went to 14, went to 20. Some of them aren't dishonest people. They just remember a lot bigger than it was. Think back to when you were a little kid And you're like, this place was awesome. And then you go back there and you're like, this place is here. It's not what I remember, but it's here. Why is that? Because our memories can deceive us at times. Try to rethink your memories. But what about that burden? What about when that burden is not previously a blessing? What about that? What about when it's something that it's not just a factor of your perception? It's not just changing your thinking because it used to be a blessing, now it's not. It's being forced into something. It's something nasty that's happened in your life, like Simon being forced to bear the cross of Jesus. It was forced on him. First thing you got to do is to rethink the chatter. Kill the chatter in your life. See, the crowd around this basically was a riot going on during the time of the crucifixion. There's people cheering, there's people screaming, they're going crazy, others mourning. And you see the physical clash of two kingdoms come together in the streets of Jerusalem. You see the kingdom of God meeting the kingdom of Satan, and both are just at odds for who's going to win this thing. And Satan, he's thinking, he's like, I've won this, he's dying. And Jesus is like, we're almost there, we're getting there, we're going to win this thing. And it's such spiritual intensity. The people feel it. Simon's dragging this cross right through the middle of it. Can you imagine how loud it must have been? This must have been deafening. Are these insults meant to me? All the chatter around him. This doesn't mean that the chatter in your life will become silent. It means you cover it with the word of Jesus. What is truth? What is truth have to say about this? Going back to the 4-8 principles in your life, knowing that God can use the burden for a blessing even if you don't see it, even if it doesn't make sense why you're suffering through something. Because what's going to happen is at that point, that chatter, instead of stabbing you, becomes to just be noise. But you've got to keep it filtered through Jesus to keep it just as that. You need to begin to pray, Lord, use this. Use this. As you could only do. I know I can't do anything with it. Lord, get me through this. Be with me. Be with me. And know the truth that Jesus is with you always. Till the very end of the age. He didn't cause your burdens. But he wants to turn them into blessings. Will you let him? Don't let the lies of the enemy come around you and tell you anything different. Rethink the chatter. And I want to just take a moment and pause here. I know how easily we can be distracted as humans, and it's very easy, especially in a world of technology, to do this. And if you find that you've got this temptation, whenever you hear, you're like, man, I wonder what's going on Facebook. Like, that's hard for you, you know, and you've got your phone on you, and you just keep that feeling. It's hard for you to focus. I'm going to challenge you. When you come in here, just turn it off. Just turn it off. Put it in your pocket. When you leave, turn it back on. Why? Because it's going to kill that distraction. It's going to kill that chatter. Well, I've got it on silent. Well, it still vibrates in your pocket. That drives me nuts. I'll be in a meeting. I'm like, I wonder if I should reply. Check my email. You know what I mean? It's like, it's this total distracting thing. If I just turn the thing off, it doesn't bug me. I don't have to worry about phone calls because there's this great thing called voicemail. If it's that important, they'll leave one. You're going to get your text messages. They still come through. The phone's turned off. Trust me. They do. It happens. Okay, side note, back in. Next thing, what if the burden was never a blessing in the first place? You need to rethink ownership. Rethink the ownership. And that is, who can change this situation? Can you change it? No. See, Simon found relief from his burden of bearing this cross only when he handed it back over to Jesus. He carried it for a short time, and it was a heavy one to bear. And it says that Jesus was with him. He was right in the front, guiding him to relief. In the midst of his anguish, he was guiding Simon to relief. And he picked the cross back up himself and bore the sin of all humanity once and for all, offering his life down as a perfect sacrifice. Jesus could only bear the cross when Simon gave it back to him. And Jesus didn't cause Simon to carry this burden. Remember, it was the Romans. They were the ones that seized and said, you carry this. It's just like the kingdom of the enemy forces things upon you. Maybe it's just the results of being in a sinful world that you've gotten a short shake in life. And you're going, man, this is not fair. God didn't cause that, but if you allow him to, he will turn it into a blessing. And just like that, just like Jesus didn't cause Simon to carry the burden, he didn't cause your burdens either. Will you allow him to take it back upon himself? Will you allow Jesus to pick it up and turn it into a blessing? Will you allow him to do that? See, Simon had to literally lay down the burden to Jesus to be free of it. Will you do that tonight? Will you lay down control of the burdens in your life so Jesus can breathe life into them? You need to rethink ownership. Don't try to own the burden. Turn it over to the one who can change it. Now, in the beginning, we were talking about inspiration, things that motivate you. Does anybody here know the medical term for inspiration? Medical term for inspiration literally means to draw air into the lungs. It means to draw air into the lungs. And in the Genesis account of creation, it says that God breathed life into man. What did he do when the stars came into the sight? It says he spoke them. Some translations argue he breathed them into existence. What in your life do you need God to breathe life into? See, when God can breathe into that burden, when you allow him to do that, it becomes literally air into the lungs of that situation. It takes on a new life. It turns into a blessing. What in your life do you need God to breathe that fresh life into? Maybe it's your relationship with him. It's your relationship with Jesus. Maybe it's stale. Allow him to breathe into it. Maybe you need some Christian friendships, or the ones you have just aren't encouraging you enough. Breathe some fresh life. Encourage them on. Begin to bring up those things that encourage you about Jesus. Maybe you don't feel motivated to serve. You're just like, someone else will do it. Wrong mindset. Allow Jesus to breathe into that, to light a fire in you for what breaks his heart, that it will break yours. Maybe you feel away from Jesus. Maybe you feel depressed and you just need joy. Maybe you feel so discouraged that you feel alone. I don't know, maybe it's something in your family. Maybe it's an addiction that you're facing. Something you're fighting that you just can't get rid of. What in your life needs that fresh breath? I want you to understand only God can breathe fresh life into it. Only God can do that. But he's also the only one that can do it inside of you as well. He's the only one. Will you allow him to? Because he gives you the choice.
Thanks for joining us for our podcast today. If you'd like more info on us, you can find us on the web at www.ragestudentmin.com or follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/ragestudentministries.